This week, the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park kicks off its 2016-2017 season with a stage adaptation of John Irving's novel, A Prayer for Owen Meany. Blake Robison, the Playhouse's artistic director, kicks off his fifth season with this production, and it is, by the way, the theater's 57th season of shows. And this particular show, it's a saga of friendship and destiny and the miracle of faith and a whole lot going on in one theater production. Blake is here this evening to talk about it. Welcome back to Around Cincinnati.
Thanks, Rick. Good to be here.
Owen Meany is one of the two central characters in Irving's sprawling 1989 novel. The other is his best friend from childhood, a fellow named John Wheelwright. Can you give us a quick sketch of these two lifelong friends and how their lives in New Hampshire intertwine and give us this story?
Absolutely. John and Owen grow up in the small fictitious town of Gravesend, New Hampshire. And A Prayer for Owen Meany traces their friendship, their relationship, beginning in 1953 when they're about 9 years old, all the way up into the kind of early mid-years of the Vietnam War in the 60s. They go through a whole lot together. The main thrust of the relationship is that John is someone riddled with doubt, doubt about religion, doubt about friendships, about the purpose of life. And Owen, on the other hand, is convinced because of a series of visions that he's had that he is personally an instrument of God. So that's the fundamental dynamic between the two. The story is told in a series of flashbacks, if you will. John is the narrator of the novel and of the stage adaptation, and we meet John at the beginning in Canada, where he has exiled himself during the Vietnam years and beyond. So it's in the mid-1980s, and he's looking back on his life and his relationship with Owen and how that has profoundly changed him and made him a believer when he wasn't one before.
Irving's novels are often compared to Charles Dickens' works, and I find that a meaningful comparison. They've got odd characters, sort of comic and tragic storylines all mm-hmm. tangled together and fantastic twists of fate. And his works are sometimes just about as long and complicated as his 19th century predecessor.
Yes.
So in print, I think Owen Meany is more than 600 pages.
My version is about 650, yes.
Yeah. So how on earth has the adapter, Simon Bent, I believe is the adapter of this piece, compressed it into one evening of theater?
Well, that's always the challenge with an adaptation, isn't it? This adaptation started in 2002 at the National Theater in London. It's been done several times in the United States, once by me and at several other wonderful theaters. The challenge is always how to reduce or kind of boil down the thick narrative and the huge cast of characters to its essence. A good adaptation is not simply a transcription of the dialogue in the novel. A good one is somewhere in between. It celebrates and honors the original source material, but you do get some focus put in by the playwright. And so in this case, fans of the novel will certainly see some of the things that are missing. There are certain characters that have been left out. There are certain plot points that aren't really addressed. And Simon Bent has chosen the things that he's chosen to put in this adaptation with great care. And it's all about Owen's faith journey. It's all about the friendship between John and Owen. And anything that doesn't feed that in a very direct dramaturgical way has gotten left by the wayside. Now, that said, this is an epic production. We've got a cast of 16 actors playing 20, 30 some odd characters. And as you said, part of the fun of any John Irving story is the vast array of quirky, kind of American Dickensian characters. And this adaptation absolutely has that on stage.
Blake, I think that, lots of people love this novel. It's certainly one of Irving's most popular novels. But what about people who either aren't at all familiar with him as a novelist, or at least aren't familiar with this one? Are they going to be lost in all of this?
No, you don't need to be familiar with the novel in order to enjoy the story. In fact, that's one of the particular requirements of any stage adaptation, I would say. We have to make sure that it resonates with fans of the novel, but more than that, that the story stands on its own. So that if you're coming in knowing absolutely nothing about any of this, that's okay. You're going to discover a story and a world that's absolutely wonderful and vivid and fascinating.
My sense is that part of the reason that you're attracted to this, having done it once before and coming back to it again, is that the telling of this story has a great deal of theatricality to it.
It does. I'm drawn to adaptations, as you know, from some of my past work, and I just love a good story. And this is a fantastic American story. I think it's important for us at the Playhouse to always be asking ourselves, why are we doing this play now? What does this story have to say about what's going on in the world right now? It's certainly no secret that we're living in a society that feels perhaps more polarized in its civic discussion about politics, race, faith, all those big issues. And that's what Owen Meany tackles. Of course, it has a point of view, but it explores every nook and cranny of that. And I think ultimately there's a positive, inspirational message here. Owen has the kind of faith, true faith, outside of the confines of any particular religion, that we all respond to as Americans. And I think it's a great time to look back at that wonderful character who is iconic, you know, in American literature, and try to figure out, what does that say to us right now, and how can that perhaps broaden our perspective and raise the level of public discourse, I hope.
Yeah. You mentioned that you staged the show previously. I think it was a pretty big hit for you at Roundhouse Theater in Maryland, where you were the artistic director before you showed up in Cincinnati. I'm hearing much of what you're saying as to why you would be drawn back to this again. But it was 10 years ago when you did that, I believe, and the world has gone on. Are there things that you're seeing new and differently as you're working on it now?
Absolutely. Going back to a play 10 years later is very much like rereading a favorite novel or watching an old film. You respond to it in different ways because you've changed. You know, 10 years later, here I am. I live in a different part of the country. My kids are a lot older. My relationships have matured. So every time I open the script, I see new things. There are a couple of actors in our production at the Playhouse who did appear in my previous production 10 years ago. Just a few, but nearly everybody else is new, including the actors who play John and Owen. So I'm looking forward to maintaining some of the fun stuff I found before, but really opening up, unpacking all those characters in a brand new way, and trying to stay relevant to what's going on in America today. Even though the story is set in the 50s and 60s, you know, people are smart. They can draw those parallels very quickly.
I have to imagine that casting the role of Owen in particular, it presents a few challenges. I mean, Sean Mellett, who is playing that role, in something I read, describes Owen as a tiny person with these big insights that reverberate all around him. And he is physically unusual. He has a strange voice.
That's right. And I think that's what people always ask about is like, how are you going to play Owen? What are you doing with the voice?
Yeah.
Readers of the novel know that the voice is Owen's most distinct characteristic. And John Irving chose to write all of Owen's dialogue in capital letters. Every single word, every single sentence. You get a sense that his voice is stuck in a permanent falsetto scream. And it's a great challenge for the actor to figure out how to do that in a way that's not grating to the ear, that gives him enough vocal variation, you know, that he can act his way through, you know, a play that's, you know, two and a half hours at the end of the night.
And the other challenge is also that, well, he has to do some things that actors don't normally do, like fly.
Yes, this is going to be a fantastic production from the technical point of view. As I said, Owen has visions, and the theatrical adaptation allows us to kind of see the world through Owen's visions every once in a while. So he has a premonition of his own death. He sees an angel appear to him at one point. He dreams he's other people, and indeed, he has these dreams where he's flying, and it has something to do with his destiny and purpose. I'm not going to spoil it, but we need to see that on stage. So we've brought in a flying company called ZFX. They're based in Louisville. They're one of the top companies that do this sort of thing nationally. And it's going to blow people's minds to see Sean Mellett and maybe even some other character float above the stage in the Marx Theater at the Playhouse.
So the season will be taking flight very soon.
Exactly.
I want to ask you if you've got a couple of minutes, maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about what else is coming this fall. I know you've got a Pulitzer Prize winner and a great show by August Wilson. So tell us a little bit about what's happening this fall.
I would love to. After Owen Meany, the opening play in our other theater, the Shelter House Theater, is the Pulitzer Prize-winning play Disgraced by Ead Oktar. Disgraced is one of the most produced plays in the country this year. Very, very relevant to what's going on in the world in an immediate way. Disgraced is about a Muslim lawyer named Amir who has kind of put his background behind him in order to become very high-powered, successful professional in New York City. And at a dinner party one night with his wife and a couple of friends, he starts to question why he's done that, and perhaps he should reclaim a little bit of his Muslim heritage. And it leads to an explosive conversation and a very explosive evening of theater. We are going to be hosting nightly post-show discussions and a number of panel discussions in association with the Islamic Center in Cincinnati, so that everybody has a chance to discuss these important issues. And briefly, after that, the second play in the Marx Theater will be the Playhouse's first August Wilson production in a very long time. It's a play called Jitney, one of August Wilson's fantastic plays set in the 1970s about a bunch of gypsy cab drivers trying to make their way in the world. And if you've never seen an August Wilson play, or if it's been a time, you know, he is one of the great American playwrights.
Yes,
and his
indeed.
Voice is very, very distinct. It's a very worthwhile evening coming your way in October and November.
Thank you for sharing that. We've been talking a little bit this evening about A Prayer for Owen Meany. It's been in previews this weekend. Opening night is Thursday, and it continues on stage through October 1st. For more information about the show and the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, follow the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I've been talking with the Cincinnati Playhouse's Blake Robison about his season opening production of A Prayer for Owen Meany. Thanks, Blake.
Thank you.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.